Oh, when the saints go marching, oh, when the saints go marching in, Lord, I want in the tumber, when the saints go marching, oh, the pilgrim and the stranger wandering through this way.
Marched 7 times, amen, and we overcame our victory. Yeah. Amen. To those who marched. Amen. Amen. Those up to you. Every victory that we have in our life, God will give us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be it according unto me according as my faith. Amen. Hello. Hello. No matter what, no matter what the circumstance, Lord, no matter what the situation, oh Lord, we will, oh Lord, we lift up holy
scripture says that he inhabits the praises of his people.
Hallelujah.
Just as much as you long to worship him, you love to worship him, he loves the praises of his people.
Amen.
Friends, and I think the no matter the circumstance, like a song says, the more difficult time is, and you give worship to him, the more he's pleased with that. And it's not when you're sailing easily on the seas of time, but it's when the winds are against you, you can't see the sun, and then you worship him. That's really acceptable to the Lord. God bless you, saints, this evening. Let's open Habakkuk chapter 2, the book of Habakkuk chapter 2. Brother Vlad, Sister Lydia, they've gone to Cork, so let's pray for them for the weekend. They were asking for prayer. Habakkuk chapter 2. Let's read verse 2 and 3. We know the scriptures. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Let's pray. Father, how we long to worship you, Lord. It's our delight, Lord. We've left our homes, we've left the activities of this life, Father, to do that one thing that satisfies us, Lord, which is to worship you, to gather in your name, to gather your people, to gather under holy auspices, Lord, in this season of grace that you've given to us, to worship you. Now, Father, teach us your ways, Lord. Teach us to approach thee in that acceptable way. Open up to us, Lord, your word, your understanding, as you taught the prophet. Teach us as well, that, Father, we may be better equipped as we leave this place. Praying for your people. Pray for Brother Max, Lord. Pray for his family. Be with him, Lord. Bless them. Then Italy, Brother Vlad, Sister Lydia, Lord, their children. Give them a good time there in Cork. Bless them. Bless Brother Christian and the saints that are there. Father, the rest of your people upon this evening, we do pray for them, Lord. But, Father, we just want to come to you. We just want to wait upon you. Help us in our thought be glorified upon this evening. And as we go from this place, we would know in our souls that we had an audience with the King. Amen. You be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, saints. Just from that scripture, I just want to speak about this principle, which if you read in verse 3, it says, in verse 2 and verse 3, it says, write the vision. Amen. Let's just speak about the vision. That's an interesting thing. I just got thinking about that, and I was thinking about visions and how the Lord dealt with the prophet in visions. And that's really, really such a powerful thing. You know, and you just start thinking of the different principles. And, you know, many times we think and say, but you know, the prophet's visions, they were really powerful. They were for the prophet. You know, the Lord revealed things. But, friends, we are living a vision.
Amen.
We are under a vision. We have so many different visions and prophecies that we are living under. Especially in this age and as a people of God, you are fulfilling a vision yourself. Now, there was a vision. God has a vision for your life. Now, there's something that he foreknew, that he foresaw before the foundation of the world about you particularly, and you walking in that vision. And look, if you want closer fellowship with him, you just find a way to walk closer in that vision. Now, that's what would really, really make such a difference is this something about this vision? You know, so I got thinking about the prophet and his visions and so forth, and then I remembered that vision of, you know, the hat on the television set. And I started thinking, you know, there's some real good principles going back because the Lord taught, didn't only show the prophet visions, but there were so many times the Lord taught the prophet very important principles through the visions that he saw.
Amen.
You know, I really do believe that the Lord dealt with the prophet the same as us, is that he had to learn obedience as he went by. You know, as the years went by, as the Lord dealt with him more, as the Lord opened things up to him more and more, he learned more and more the ways of the Lord. He got to know the ways of the Lord more perfectly. He knew how to walk more in harmony. And like a prophet says about the young child diving in the swimming pool and splashing and making a lot of noise. You know, but when you get older and you know how to swim, you can just dive in effortlessly. You know, you learn how to get the same results or even be more efficient without so much noise and activity and all the things that you have to go through. So there's something about that. There's something about learning the ways of the Lord. And sometimes the best way to learn the ways of the Lord is look how the Lord's dealt with you in the past. Look how you responded to the dealings of the Lord with you in the past. And you can so much glean lessons from that that can so enrich you now, you know, to better equip you to go forward.
Amen.
So the prophet in this message, it's one of the early messages, 1948. It's experiences number three. It's in 2nd of March, 1948. He's speaking about different visions. He's just spoken of different things. And then he comes to trying to explain to the people. He's trying to speak about the principles of faith. He's trying to speak about the principles of the Lord meeting people in their point of need and things like that. But he gets into paragraph 9 and he says, listen, we've got plenty of time. I want to tell you just of one case so that you would understand. So he says, let me tell you about one vision so that you'll understand what I'm speaking about. So there's going to be certain principles in this vision that really help the prophet, because this vision he's going to speak about happened maybe 20 years before this, 15, 20 years before. But the prophet never forgot this vision. You find he speaks of it many, many times.
Amen.
And he spoke of it in detail in this message. And then you go in 1955, he spoke in the message, the approach to God. When he was speaking about the importance of your approach to God, he speaks of this vision in detail once again. You know, because the prophet had learned something from here. You look inside of your own life, there's certain experiences that you have gone through. And you'll never forget those experiences, because they were like real important lessons in those experiences. That maybe they happened in a small sort of a way, or they happened maybe just personally to you, but they've got a virtue and a something inside of that lesson that even when you face up to bigger challenges, you face up to far more complicated situations, but the lessons that you learned in that situation was so vital to help you to approach and face up to the current situation that you're in. And the Lord does these things for us. And this particular vision the prophet had, it was just after his wife had died and his baby, and he says, I was at my mother's house, and this happens quite often. I was praying in the room. So that's the first thing that I saw. I saw, okay, so the first thing, the prophet was prayerful. In order for him to be able to enter into a vision and learn from the vision and fulfill a vision, that's the first thing he was prayerful. He says, I wanted to be alone. It just felt like I wanted to be alone, a burden on my heart to pray.
Amen.
Did you, any of you ever feel that way? And I just started praying, and I was lying down across the bed. And I must have gone to sleep, and I woke up 2 a.m, and I still had that burden, and I started praying again. And I knelt down on the floor to pray, and I looked over in a corner like that. No, so there was a burden that was upon the prophet to pray. Now, the reason there's a burden is because in the spiritual realm, there's a burden as well.
Yes.
Now, there's a man and his baby is about to die.
Yes.
And the doctors exactly at this time, 2 a.m, have just told this man, your baby's going to die. You know, he's probably not even going to see daybreak. No, so there's a great need. The Lord is burdened. The Lord sees a need. And he wants now, the Lord has a vision, he has a purpose. He sees something taking place. And now he wants the prophet to enter into this vision as well. Because he knows the prophet's got the gift, he's got the commission, that he can make a difference in this situation for this man. But the prophet doesn't know about that. The prophet's just feeling like he wants to go and pray. He just feels burdened to go and be on his own, to separate himself, to seek the Lord. And he prays and he prays, he sleeps and he wakes up in the middle of the night, and the burden is still there. So he obeys the burden. He gets down on his knees. He's starting to draw nigh unto the Lord. He's starting to move from just the natural realm. And he's starting to move by prayer into that realm of the unseen. And that's where things are going to start taking place. And then he says, he looked into the corner where his mother put the washing. Many people know this vision. And he says, well, poor mother, there's the washing. And I saw a big white something there in the corner. And I happened to notice the washing. I hadn't noticed it before. But I came to find out, it wasn't washing in the room. It was a white misty cloud. And here it was coming to me. So it was the Shekinah glory. He says, so as he was prayerful now he's going to start moving into the place of vision. He's going to start moving into that place that he's going to start seeing things. And things are going to be declared to him before those things take place. Things, he's going to be taken to a place, and things are going to be made real to him that You know, as a natural man, he's just going to be going to his work and coming back. But by prayer and by yielding himself and by predestination and by the gift God has put inside of him, he's got the ability to move into this specific type of realm. So he says, this cloud came right up. It moved right up to me. And I went into the cloud. Amen. He says, and I found out that I was going to a little white house. A little two-roomed house. Amen. Kind of a, what we would call a shotgun house. Yes, sir. A little straight house. And this house is 11 miles away. If you go and see later on, he tells you. So he's moving into this realm. He started to pray. He's been prayerful. He draws nigh to the Lord. The Lord draws nigh to him. As he draws nigh and the Lord draws nigh to him, the Lord has a burden. The Lord has a need. The Lord wants something to be done. And the prophet's the one that the Lord has ordained. So he's going to move him into this vision. And so he starts to pray. And as he's praying now, and then he breaks into this realm now, he sees this house. And he says, and I entered the front door. And when I did, to my left, there was a red duofold chair. That's one of those real nice kind of chairs. And he says, and there was an old mother sitting there a-crying. And over to my right was a duofold itself, which is a sofa. So there was a single chair, then there's a sofa, and there's this old lady crying. And he says, and a young man was sitting there with blonde wavy hair. And there was a black-headed woman leaning against the door that went into the kitchen or another room, crying. And I looked over here at the bed, a little iron poster bed. And one of the most hideous sights I ever seen in my life. A little boy was laying there with blue corduroy overalls on. And his legs were just all twisted up like that. And his father, a tall, dark-looking man, was standing crying over the baby. And I said, isn't that strange? I was in mother's house. Strange. You're not dreaming. It's just as much reality as I know I'm standing in Phoenix here. Even more so. You know, so he moves into this place where the Lord starts to make things that he's not yet seen become a substance to him. Some of these things haven't taken place yet, but it's so real to him. He's moved from being in his mother's room, but still in the same place. He's still in his mother's room, but he's moved into this place of vision where it's an evidence of things not yet seen. You know, it declares itself as a reality. And he says, and when I turned towards the right, standing there stood the angel of the Lord, that man who comes to me. And he said, can the baby live? And I said, so I know not. And he said, you pray for it. And the father brought it to me, all in the vision. And I laid my hands upon it and prayed for it. It dropped out of its father's arms, hit one of the little crooked legs, unwound, made another step, another leg unwound, got into the corner, make its next step, its whole little body unwound. And it came walking to me with it, put its little hands in mine and said, Brother Branham, I'm perfectly whole. And I said, praise the Lord. And then he came out of the vision. And as he comes out of the vision, now he hears this commotion at the door of his mother's house. And somebody's banging the door and somebody is saying, Mrs. Branham, is Billy there? Is Billy there? Is Brother Branham there? And he goes to the door and there's a man at the door. He says, I came to myself in the room. I hadn't been anywhere. But there was someone who had come in the door and somebody said, yes, come in. And he was crying. And he said to me, do you remember me, Brother Branham? And I said, no, I don't. He said, my name's John Emmel. About 4 years ago, you baptized me and my family. He says, but I backslid. And last year, my little boy died with pneumonia. And I've got another little boy left. And Dr. Bruner of our city said he's dying now with pneumonia. Now, this is the grace of God. Because this man, imagine that. Put yourself in that situation that you've had one child and the child died of pneumonia. Now you've got another child lying dying with pneumonia. Imagine that kind of a desperation. So he says, will you pray for him? I said, yes, sir. Amen. And he said, well, I'm going down to get Graham Snelling. The prophet didn't know who this young man was, Graham Snelling. The prophet is now my associate pastor at the tabernacle. And he says, I'm going to go and get him because he's a Christian. He says, do you know where I live? No, sir. I live about 4 miles above Utica. Utica is 7 miles from Jeffersonville. I said, all right, I'll go. He says, don't get your car. I'll take you in my car. So we're driving in the car. And I said, Mr. Emil, I guess it's awfully hard on you being backslid now. He said, yes, Brother Branham, I'm ashamed of myself. I was ashamed to come after you. But Dr. Bruner said this morning at 2 o'clock that the baby's going to die. And it was now 4 or 4:30. And I said, you have a little white house, don't you? He said, yes, sir. Amen. And the front door faces south of you. Yes, sir. You have a red duofold in that house, don't you? Amen. Yes, sir. You have red baseboards or around the side of the room. Amen. He said, yes. I said, your baby's about 3 years old and is wearing blue corduroys. Amen. He said, were you ever up there? Hallelujah. I said, uh-huh. But not in the way that you think that I was. Amen. And he said, brother, I'm there. And the baby's barely breathing, isn't it? He said, it is. Amen. And I said, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Your baby's going to live. Amen. And he said, how? You were never in my house. I said, I was there just a few moments ago. He said, well, I never saw you, Brother Branham. I said, it was a vision, Brother Emma. I said, don't worry, your baby will live. And he pulled up the brakes of this old Model T Ford, threw his arms around brother Graham and one around myself. And I've never heard a man cry and repent so much in my life. That's what I really saw as the grace of God. See, God doesn't just respond to where you are now. God knows if he does something for you, what you will become. Now, many times people say, but why do you allow this person to do that? And why do you allow that person to do that? Now, sometimes you show grace to somebody and you see what happens to that person. Amen. And the Lord, this man was backslidden. He was under the judgments of God. His one child had died. His second child was just about to die. But God saw. God met the prophet before this man repented. Amen. Because the Lord didn't see where the man was. The Lord saw what the man was going to become. Amen. The Lord saw the depth of repentance. That if God just showed him some grace, if God just revealed grace to him in some kind of a way, it was going to make a difference. And so this man says, God, I'm so ashamed of myself. He said, I'll never, never go back on you again if you'll just forgive me. And there he gave his heart back to Christ. And he says, and we were there about 15 minutes and he was crying. And he felt that God had forgiven him. My, that's quite a thing. 15 minutes, this man was praying and crying and weeping in the car. Just repenting before the Lord because he had backslidden on the Lord. And the prophet just sat there with this other brother in the car. And this man made his things right with the Lord. He says, and then we got to the house and we walked up to the house. And as soon as I walked in, I saw the mother. You know, so the prophet seen the vision. And there's all these people that need to be in the vision. Now, the prophet doesn't know these people. The prophet doesn't know that on the way, this man, Mr. Emil, gets a burden. I think I know a Christian guy called Graham Snelling. Let's go and pick him up. That man, Mr. Emil, doesn't know that man is part of the vision. He's the blonde-headed man that needs to be sitting on the duofold. So you find out the Lord is starting to bring the right people into the vision. But he's got to get all the people into the vision. So they get there and the prophet says, I saw there was the mother. Yeah? He says, as soon as I walked in, I saw the mother. But here's where you can always speak out of turn. Ah, friends. The prophet is God, thus saith the Lord. The prophet seen a vision. The prophet, the Shekinah has come to him and showed him the house, showed him the jewel fold, showed him the sofa that's there. Showed him the people that are going to be in the house. Showed him exactly the affliction of the child. Showed him how to pray for the child. Showed him the child's going to be healed. But where the great problem comes in now, the prophet runs ahead of the vision. You see, the prophet in his excitement, getting to that house, seeing that place, seeing the need, the prophet says, here where you can always speak out of turn. And here's a principle the prophet's going to learn, is that we as believers have to act in turn. Amen. There's times we have to act and then we have to wait for God's turn. Amen. You say, when it's God's turn, you have to wait. Though the vision tarry, you have to wait for it. Amen. Don't run ahead of the vision. Don't try to put your own things into it. When you've done all that God requires you to do, it's God's turn. Amen. But the prophet got to this situation. Man hadn't yet done all the things that man needed to do. Not everything was in order the way that people were supposed to put things in order. Therefore, it was people's turn still. It wasn't yet God's turn. And the prophet, he didn't understand that at first. He didn't understand this principle of visions, that for the vision to speak, in Habakkuk it says, the vision will speak. Amen. But in order for the vision to speak, you've got to wait for it. Amen. There's these conditions. If you can listen to the message, the approach to God, when the prophet speaks of this, he said, you've got to have the right approach to the vision. Though the Lord gives you, thus saith the Lord, though the Lord shows you the vision, his purpose, his desire, but so much depends now in your turn of your approach to that vision. Your approach to what God has declared that he wants to do. And until we approach it the right way, the vision doesn't speak. The vision's just potentially there, but it's not going to speak. So the prophet says, yeah, well, you can always speak out of turn. He says, this is where I almost missed it. And I caused something to happen. The prophet's almost going to cause this child to die. By acting out of turn of the vision. This child's so close to death already. But the prophet's not yet moving into that realm and waiting and for everything to fall into place. He says, I almost missed it. And I caused something to happen. You have to watch what you're doing. Our friends, in the vision, there's two parts. There's the divine and there's the human. And both have to be in the position. The prophet said when Jesus came to the grave of Lazarus, he couldn't take away the stone. They had to take away the stone. But when it comes to the right people in the right place at the right time, the vision's going to speak. But until then, if it's not yet the right people, if the people aren't in the right place, or it's not yet the right time, the vision's not going to speak. Amen. You'll never get that vision to speak. Amen. And friends, it's a serious principle to think about. Amen. It's a serious thing. It's like if God is speaking to you to repent, it's now your turn. It's not God's turn anymore. He says, you repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's his turn. Then he'll give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. But until you repent, until you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, until you, when it's your turn, get into the vision and fulfill your part of the turn, heaven's not going to respond. The heavens are going to be silent. The heavens are going to be brass. You may be so sincere. You may jump up and down. You may do everything that you possibly can do. But God's going to hold his turn until you finish your turn. Amen. And it's an important principle to think about. No, because God's not going to start dealing with you two steps down the way. No, God's looking at us now. God's saying there's vision. You people are the people of the vision. There's great vision for you to fulfill. But in order for us to fulfill the vision, sometimes when we don't see the vision fully speaking yet, it's still our turn. God's waiting on us because it's our turn. And he's trying to say, you've got to be the right people in the right place at the right time. And then the vision's going to speak. And the prophet, like us, he was learning. Now he's still trying to understand, how did these visions get fulfilled? He hasn't really had so much experience at this time with these things. In that time, he didn't even know there were visions. He used to call them trances and different things. But he's trying to learn the principle behind these things. God has expressed his willingness. God has shown what he wants to do. He wants to raise this young boy up. God's heart is moved. Heaven is burdened in this situation. But the human part has to play a part as well. Because God is in partnership with his people. So the prophet says that, and I walked into the room. And there laid the little baby lying there. So he gets in the room and he says, ah, there's the mother. Ah, there's the little baby. There's the chair. There's the sofa. Everything's in its place. This is the right place. He says, and there was the Jewfold chair with the Jewfold. And the man that was with me was Brother Graham Snelling. Then the prophet looks at the man that's with him and says, this is the right man. But you know the problem is, the man's not in the right place. The right man's there, but the man's not in the right place. And you're going to see it after a while. The prophet actually goes and sits in this man's place. So this man can't get into the right place because someone else is sitting in his place. And until the prophet realizes, I need to get out of this man's place and go to my place so that this man can come and sit in his place, they're not going to get any closer to the fulfillment of the vision. Amen. It's a very important thing. Because for the vision to speak, you have to be in your place. Amen. You've got to be in the place that you were seen in the vision. You know, you may be the right person, but that's not enough. It's going to take the right people in the right place. Amen. At the right time. And then the vision's going to speak. And then God's going to do exactly what he always wanted to do. God's going to bring it to pass. So the prophet says, the man that was with me was Brother Graham Snelling. He says, God is in no hurry. He changes his thought. Why? Because the prophet was in a hurry. Obviously, because he's a man. He has a baby that's dying. The prophet's excited now. He sees, the Lord showed me, thus saith the Lord, this baby is going to rise up. He says, God is in no hurry. We're the ones in a hurry, not God. And I said, bring me the baby now if you've got faith. It's not only faith that's going to do it. The vision isn't going to speak just because of faith. Not everything's in order yet. Not everything's in the right place, the way that it's supposed to be according to the vision. He says, bring me the baby now if you've got faith. And the baby was barely living. The only way you could tell was hold a little piece of fine paper to its nose and see if there was breath coming. That's how bad it was. And I saw the twisting of the body, that's in the vision, was the pneumonia. It was dead practically. And that's the only place it was breathing was in the chest. And I said, bring it here. And they brought it over. And my, when I prayed for it, if anything, it got worse. Friends, you and I can pray about situations in life and they get worse. Amen. And there's a reason they get worse. God's trying to teach us something. Amen. God's trying to say, no, 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 no. It's not yet my turn. It's still your turn. Amen. There's still things that I've shown you that you need to do. Yeah. There's certain places that you need to line up with the vision. Amen. And the prophet, he says, it got worse. Its little eyes set and its tongue came out and its little head went back. And I thought, wait, there's something wrong. I've never in my life seen that fail. Because that's just as true as the Bible. God had already spoken it. So the prophet saying that vision is just as faithful as the Bible. Because it's God's word. God has declared something, thus saith the Lord. And he says, so now he's expecting now that vision to speak, to kick in at that time, but it doesn't kick in. And instead of things getting better, they start getting worse. And the prophet, being a sensitive spiritual man, he picks it up straight away and says, there's something wrong. I said, well, wait, there's something wrong. There's no way, he says, you can doubt it. It's already been pronounced by Almighty God. It's going to happen. Amen. Friends, the rapture's going to happen. Amen. The third pull is going to fully manifest. Amen. All of the promises and the individual promises that God has given to you, they're going to happen. Because God has spoken them. But there's different ways we can approach it. You see, and the prophet, just in his simplicity, in his sincerity, he didn't approach the vision the way that he should have. He didn't carefully consider everything that was in the vision and compare it with everything that he and the people were doing and then waiting for everything to line up. He didn't do that. So it didn't speak. And I thought, there's something wrong. And then I happened to think, why? There's one person that's not yet in the house. That's why the rapture will never take place until every person is in the body. Because God is not going to speak until every person's in their place. Every person that's in the vision, Every person that's ordained, that's been foreseen, who's predestinated, has to be there. No matter what we try to do, no matter how we try to manufacture things, it's never going to speak until everybody's there. And the prophet looked in the house and he realized, there's supposed to be an old lady with glasses, but she's not here. And the thing that he learns, the prophet, is you can't manufacture it. You can't manufacture the vision. He can't do anything to bring that lady there. It's not his program, it's God's program. And he's just been called to line up, to try to get himself in tune and line up with what God has already declared that he's about to do. I said, there's one person wasn't in the house. Nothing is in order. Our friends, we didn't realize that. He didn't realize just how important that order was. That if a person's not sitting in the right place, spiritually speaking, or if a person's not yet there, things aren't in order. And if the things aren't in order, the vision's not going to speak. The vision can't speak. And take inside with Jesus, the prophet says, he says, you look at the early church. He says how they drew lots and they put Matthias and all those things. He says, do you notice how the Lord waited for them to get things in order before Acts chapter 2 could take place? Then it was the right time, the day of Pentecost, God's appointed time. It was now the right people. Judas wasn't part of the vision. Judas had to leave before that could happen. He wasn't part of the vision. But every one of those 120 were part of the vision. But even though there were 120 in the right place, when they weren't in order, the vision didn't speak. They had to get into a one accord. They had to sort things out and find their places and positions with one another. And then in God's appointed time, God's appointed place, it was God's appointed people. And they were in order now, according to the vision. They were in the place, spiritually speaking as well, that God wanted them to be. Then there came a sound from heaven. It was now God's turn. But until they got their turn right, God held his turn back. And that's the process of how that the visions are always fulfilled. And he says that. He says, there was nobody there with them glasses on. Where was she at? And they took the little baby over there. It was just choking. And the mother ran over to it and the father. And they began to work with the baby. They put the stuff over its nose. And they both got to screaming, the mother and the father, and left the baby alone. Friends, all of us have been in those situations. You try to do something for the Lord, but it's not the right time, not the right place. You're not the right person. You make things worse. And now it becomes even more complicated. How is this going to get itself back in line? But friends, if God has spoken something, it's going to come to pass. Even if it's not in order now, just wait. Though the vision tarry, wait, everything by the grace of God, he's going to bring everything back into order again. Then the vision's going to speak. He says, they left the baby alone and Brother Graham started working on the baby. Just as blue as it could be in its little body. So starved of oxygen. Laying stiff like that. The lungs were congested. And I thought, I know that mother isn't there. And I knew that I had missed it. That I'd failed God. Hey, that's sincerity, friends. I love to have a messenger like that. Amen. The prophet will come and say, I missed it. I was learning. This is what I learned about visions. And the prophet would come and say, look, I had a vision. And I almost missed it. I made mistakes. But I'm going to come and tell you because it's important that you understand. And friends, these are important things for us to understand because the issues of visions and every single one of us is operating in various visions that God has for us. Amen. God has a vision for your life. So they worked with that baby from then until it got daylight. The sun coming up. And I never spoke one more word. I couldn't speak a word. I couldn't tell them. You see, you can't manufacture the vision. You can't use your human instrumentality to manufacture a vision. You can't, the fulfillment of a vision. You have to wait. You have to yield, find your place, and wait for God to put the rest of the things in order. And the prophet, he learned that principle. He knew that this is God's program. This is God's plan. I can't tell people. I can't say, you need to go and sit over there. He couldn't say, let's wait. There's got to be a lady coming in the glass. He couldn't do that. The prophet had to get himself out of the way. And that must have been a difficult thing, friends. You know, when you're sitting there for those couple of hours and you see that baby is getting worse and worse and worse, and you realize that it's you and your zeal, you and your maybe your immaturity and how to handle those kind of things. You're the one that's caused the vision to get out of line, get out of place. So then it got time. Or he says, I never spoke one more word. I couldn't tell them. But I saw the dewfold and I saw everything. So the prophet's sitting back now. Now he's starting to look at the things and he's starting to say, but what did I do wrong here? Then he said, but there's the chair, there's the sofa, there's the man with the blonde hair, there's the father, there's the mother. But it's not all in this place. So, watch how more complicated it becomes. So it got time that Brother Snelling had to go to work. And so Mr. Emil was going to take him back home. And he said, Brother Branham, do you wish to go? And I said, no, sir, I'll just stay here. And I thought, oh, God, I was praying, forgive me, forgive me. You see, we can be sincere, friends. And that's why I like these lessons so much. Because many times we're sincere, but we don't yet understand some of these things fully. And we don't do the thing exactly the way the Lord wanted. And it just makes it more complicated to get it in place. And now there's a certain person who is part of the vision. They want to leave. Hey, that's a tough one. Now, how's the prophet going to stop this man leaving who needs to be in the vision? Shh. The prophet says, well, you remember 2-3 Sundays ago, standing here in this pulpit when I did something. Now, if you go and read Experiences Part 1, 2 weeks before that, we've spoken of it before. That's when the prophet called the miracle lines and said, bring the hardest cases. No matter how bad they are, bring the hardest case. They're going to be healed. That wasn't part of the vision. Because Jesus never did that. Amen. Jesus, there were certain things that he couldn't do because of the unbelief. And he had to take a man out of a city. And the prophet, in his zeal and his desire to glorify the Lord, he told the people, it doesn't matter how hard. He told me, if you will believe, not even cancer will stand. Bring the hardest cases. And they brought the miracle line. And there was a man, remember, he was half deaf. And the prophet prayed for him. And the man went completely deaf. Amen. And then the next one came up. And the prophet prayed for her. It was a girl, I think. And she also went completely deaf. Now the prophet started to think 2 weeks before to say, but hey, when a man gets out of his position, innocent people start getting affected as well. Amen. It wasn't so much the prophet. Now there's a baby gasping for death here. There's two people that have gone deaf 2 weeks before that. Amen. And the prophet's trying to really consider these things and say, but hey, there's got to be a certain approach here. Amen. These things don't just take care of themselves. You've got to be careful with these things because when we, even in our sincerity, rush ahead and do certain things, we don't realize the knock-on effect it's going to have on other people. Amen. Because God can't bless it in that kind of a way. So he's saying, forgive me. And he's remembering. And he says, 2 Sundays ago, he says, that's the only thing. I sometimes look at humanity. And I try to listen to what somebody says instead of waiting to see what God says. You pray for me. Because the prophet was a man, he'd see the needs of the people. But the Lord's having to take him through a process to say, look, it's not just enough for you to have the gift. It's not enough just for you to be able to see the vision. But you've got to overcome yourself. You've got to really find a way that you don't respond to anything that moves you out of the vision. Wait upon the vision. Everything has to be in its place. So I turned around. I didn't know what to do. And he said, well, do you want to ride with us, Brother Branham? I said, no, I'll wait here. I knew that if God would hear my prayer and forgive me, there was a chance for the baby. Amen. But nothing was lined upright. And I saw the boy. No. It's an important principle, this one, of the positions of people within the vision. It's important. You know, if you really go and really study this vision, go and listen to what the prophet says, there wasn't very much the prophet was supposed to do to get people in their positions. There was just about nothing. He just had to be in the spirit and keep responding. Amen. And then the Lord was going to bring the people in their turn to take their places in the vision. Amen. And that's how it is in the kingdom of God. We don't have to manufacture anything. Amen. The prophet says if God sees you need something, he knows how to bring it to you. Amen. Because it's his program. Amen. Friends, when you and I were dead in sin and trespasses, dead in the world, he already had seen the vision. Amen. He'd already seen you in the vision. He'd already seen the end of the vision. He knows exactly how the vision is going to speak. And if you think about yourself, how much did you manufacture to get yourself in the message of the hour? What did you do to get yourself in the message? What did you do? Did you have to move situations, manipulate people? No, you did nothing. Amen. Absolutely nothing. God saw your need. Amen. And in his due season, he brought the answer to your need to you. And what was your requirement? You had to respond. You now had to respond. And whenever it was testified to and said, you need to repent. What did you do? You repented. You went and you got all your old worldly music and you threw it away. You got all of your old films. You threw them away. You separated yourself from your worldly friends. You just repented. And then the Lord led you to the next stage and the next stage and the next stage. And friends, it's his program. It's his vision. It's his grace that brings these things to us. But the prophet was just being taught one thing. Be careful how you approach the vision. Amen. In approach to God, he says, you see, I didn't come the provided approach. You said, I said, bring him here. And I got into it myself. Because I saw that the vision was going to make him well. But you have to come God's approach. Ah, friends. How many times in the bride have you tried to manufacture the vision? This one rises up and he's going, you have to join him and the vision's going to be fulfilled with them. And this one rises up and you've got to join them. And people try to manufacture the things. Ah, friends, it's not worthwhile manufacturing anything in the kingdom of God. It's not worthwhile. And the prophet learned that. There's a certain approach. So, the prophet says, no, I'll wait here. Nothing was lined up right. He says, now that might not seem very much to you. But in the sight of God, it means everything. It's got to be right on the dot. Hey. Now that's something to really consider. The prophet said, it might not mean much to you. You might look and say, but hey, brethren, you're doing your best. And most of the people are there. The prophet says, it may not mean much to you. It didn't mean much to me at that time until God taught me the lesson. But then I realized it's got to be right on the dot because it means a lot to the Lord. Amen. That when he's shown the vision, that's what pleases him. And he wants things to be like that. Amen. So Brother Snelling said, well, I got to go because I've got to go to work. He was driving a tractor at Colgate's. And I thought, oh my, if he leaves, I may have to set you for 2 or 3 days until he comes back. Because I knew he was the man that had the blonde curly hair that was in the vision. Ah, friends. Be careful. Don't take yourself out of the vision. That's what the devil wants. You know, there's two principles here the prophet teaches in these messages. One, you can run ahead of the vision. Yeah? And the second thing is you can hold back from the vision. When the Lord's trying to get you to do something, get you to move to a certain place, like Moses, sometimes we look at ourselves and say, but oh Lord, but I can't do that. Lord, I'm not able to do it. But it's part of the vision. And in both cases, you've got to overcome yourself. Some people the Lord's got to hold back. Some people the Lord's got to try to push forward. That's just the way that we work. But it's not an easy thing for the Lord to get people into a certain condition that they can be like prisoners to Christ in that way, that when the vision comes, they'll move into that vision. And they'll really see the fulfillment. And that's why the prophet comes to teach us to say, look, I know the process. Sometimes you don't get it right first time. And then the grace of God comes in, and then you get yourself lined up, and then the vision will speak. I said, oh my, if he leaves, I knew he was the man. The prophet says, well, you don't know how I thought, friend. You'll never know until we meet in the judgment. Sitting in that chair there, the prophet, knowing that he was helpless now, knowing that the opportunity had been presented and he had run ahead of things. And now, like he says in Taking Sides with Jesus, he says, sometimes we run ahead. And then we've got to stop and wait for the things to get caught up. And the prophet now sitting and waiting. And I sat down on the Jewfold. The sun was coming up. It was awful cold. It was winter time. Brother Emil put on his coat, had on his coat and his big heavy cap. Brother Snelling had on his coat and his wraps. They were starting to go out. He was talking to his wife, Brother Emil was. And I was sitting at the window looking like this, down. And I happened to notice coming up the sidewalk, a little dirt path around the house. Here come the grandmother. Friends, that's the grace of God. Like that song, do you know grace? Friends, we know grace. There's many times we complicated the program of God. There's many times we got out of harmony with his vision. It's many times we ran ahead. Many times we held back. But our friends, he's gracious. He's gracious because he says, though the vision tarry, it shall speak. Because the Lord says, no word that proceeds out of my mouth will return to me without achieving the purpose to which it was sent. So the vision's still going to be fulfilled, but the prophet's been through a lot of pressure and a lot of stress and a lot of strain and a lot of difficulty, which if he had have understood the principle at that time, he didn't have to go through to bring about the fulfillment of that vision. Exactly the same with us. It says, and here came up the grandmother. Sometimes, friends, it seems like the vision is in danger. Imagine. The people already had their coats on, already put their hats on, were already starting to move to the door. You and I would have looked and said, this is hopeless. This can never come right once again. How is it ever going to come in line with the vision? But our friends, grace knows how to bring it back in line. Moses, 40 years in the backside of the desert, might have thought the same thing. Just say, I blew it. There was the vision, but instead of getting into the spirit and going, doing the things in the spirit, I tried to manufacture the vision myself. I killed an Egyptian, buried him in the sand. That wasn't the vision. That wasn't the vision. But the prophet says, God never forgot his prophet. And 40 years back there, God came down in the pillar of fire to bring his prophet back into the vision. And the Lord says, I've heard the cries of my people. God had a burden and God had a desire. And there was no one else that he was looking at to fulfill that. Friends, no one can take your place. No one can take your place in the vision. If you're not in your position, if you're one of the elect and you're not in your position, the vision's going to tarry. But God will never give up on you. But he's going to allow you, like the prophet, to go through strain and sorrow and even fear and wondering and all the things the prophet is going through for these hours. And the Lord said, good, this is the way that you learn. This is the way that you learn the correct approach to the vision. So next time I show you the vision. Now that's amazing because the prophet, 1955, preaches an approach to God, yeah? It's just not long before they'd come back from South Africa. And there's the big lesson there in South Africa again. And the prophet learned in South Africa, don't get yourself caught up with people that are not part of the vision. Amen. Because the vision in South Africa was what? Go to Johannesburg. Then go to Sydney Jackson. Then go to Durban. I'll give you the country. Then he gets himself with brother, what's all the brothers' names? Yeah. All those Afrikaans brothers. They weren't part of the vision. Amen. They weren't part of the vision. Friends, if you want to complicate your life, get yourself tied up with people that are not part of the vision. And that's where marrying the wrong person is such a great mistake. Because you're marrying someone that's not in the vision. Hey, and you're wanting your life to line up with this divine vision and you yourself have yoked yourself up with someone who's not part of the vision. Friends, I've never seen people suffer as much as people who do that. You've brought a lot of trouble into your life. Doesn't mean you'll be lost. Doesn't mean that grace can't catch you down the way. But like the prophet, yeah, you'll go through a lot of unnecessary sorrow, a lot of unnecessary suffering, a lot of unnecessary worrying about the future. Will this be fulfilled? Will that be fulfilled? Because you got yourself, the people aren't the right people. That's why when you first become a believer, it's such a good thing to go through your phone and delete a lot of contacts. Because they're not people in the vision. And if the people are not in the vision, remember Abraham came out, God gave him the vision. Lot wasn't part of the vision. So why is Abraham carrying on with Lot? He's not part of the vision. And the vision could never completely speak as long as Lot was there. And the Lord had to bring a strife to move Lot out of the picture. And as soon as Abraham separated from Lot, immediately the Lord came down again and renewed the vision. And says, look to the north, south, east, and west. This is your land. And the prophet says, but God held back until Abraham totally lined up with that vision. Because Lot wasn't part of the vision. Our friends, but we are people of human compassion. We like Abraham. We want to bring along our father. We want to bring along our nephew. We don't want anybody else. So sometimes we chug along. Spend a lot of time and a lot of effort on different people. They don't really want to believe. And the Lord will be looking and saying, one of these days you're going to get tired of that. One of these days you're going to ask me and say, who's in the vision? And you're going to start lining up with the people of the vision. And one of the greatest things you can do for yourself in your life is line up with people in the vision. Line up with people in the vision. Because the moment you start lining up with people in the vision, friends, things start moving. The vision starts speaking. That's a very important principle. And the prophet had to learn that. And he realizes now that, yay, one person who's supposed to be in the vision isn't in the vision. And two people that have to be in the vision are about to walk out of the vision. Friends, we've been in those situations, haven't we, in your life, when you realize, but hey, Lord, this isn't looking good. It's like things are hanging on a knife edge. But friends, with God, he always has it in his control. To us, it looks like this is playing dangerous games here. This is a dangerous position to be in. But the Lord says, I'm not worried about that condition. I know how to bring this vision to come to pass. And just at that time, the prophet looks out of the window and there was grace. And he saw the old lady come walking down the path. He says, and here come the grandmother of the baby. And she had on glasses. To us, it might seem like an incident, but friends, if those glasses weren't there, the vision wasn't going to speak. Because there had to be a woman that was cleaning her glasses in the vision. The glasses had to be there. That was an important part of the vision. Oh my. The prophet says, you don't know how you feel then. When you realize the possibility, God's going to give us another chance to get on track with the vision. Ah, friends, you feel wonderful at that kind of a time. When you realize that grace has kicked in once again. Ah, it's sweet. And I thought, oh, if they just don't leave now. I thought, oh God, how I thank you. And the woman, the grandmother later testified, she used to always come in the front door. But in the vision, she wasn't supposed to come in the front door. She was supposed to come in the back door. And she testifies, I don't know why I did it, but that day I just felt, let me go in the back door. Can you see, you can't manufacture it. God knows how to move people to their positions and bring things to pass. And he says, but that morning, whatever, he says, she went around home, okay, she came around to the back door. He says, I couldn't say anything. I just had to sit there and watch now. And that's like us. There's times when you've done what you can and maybe you didn't do your best. Yeah. Maybe it didn't work the way that it was supposed to work. And you see, but things have got to catch up. Things have got to move into a certain place. It's not an easy thing for you to overcome yourself then. And just commit it in prayer and say, Lord, we need your grace. Lord, we need your mercy. You're the only one who can bring these things back on course. Ah, friends, but he's the God of restoration. He says, I will restore, saith the Lord. Now, it doesn't matter how much you get it. Jonah thinks, I'm not going to be part of this vision. Yes, you are. The vision was Jonah's going to be in Nineveh. The man gets on the boat, thinks, I'm heading out of this vision. Friends, you can't head out of the vision. If you're a son or daughter of God, yes, there's going to be storms and strife. You're going to fear for your life. You're going to cry from the depths of hell. But in the end, God's going to bring him back into the vision. And then the vision's going to speak again. Go, Jonah. Preach to Nineveh. And this time the man lines up with the vision. And there's such a revival that even the prophet says they put sackcloth and ashes upon the animals in the city. When the man lined up with the vision. Amen. That's why we sometimes think we have free will. Friends, Brother Donnie Reagan was preaching. Another brother, Wilmer, listened a couple of weeks ago. He preached on free will. And he was showing free will is subject to the sovereignty of God. Amen. Free will isn't the boss. The purpose of God is the boss. Amen. You don't really have the free will that you think that you have. You don't think you're making all the decisions and you're doing this, that, and the other. But friends, before you were here, God moved your grandmother, grandfather to a certain place, brought people together. Your father married your mother, weren't even believers, and they brought forth you. So where's all the power of this free will that people make decisions and choice? Everything works according to his determinate counsel. It does. So our free will is an important thing, but it's the overarching thing in it all is the purpose of God, the sovereignty of God. That's why Jonah thinks he's got free will. I'm not going to go and preach in Nineveh, but God has said Jonah's going to go and preach in Nineveh. And God knows how to get Jonah to Nineveh. And it's going to be like that with everybody who's an elect of God. He knows how to do it. You can go the hard way or you can go the right approach, but in the end, the vision's going to speak. The vision's going to speak. He says, I couldn't say nothing. I just had to sit there and watch. But you'll never know how I felt when I watched and saw that woman came over. And I recognized it to be her. Friends, the children of the vision, they recognize the other children of the vision. There'll just be certain people coming out. These are people that are part of the vision. You know it. It's like at work today. You know, there's one guy, he lost his job and so forth. And we got these new people, about five people started in about a week. And I know at our company who's going to last and who's not going to last. Because there's just certain people that fit. Some people come and they're too smart. And they have all these ideas. And all the way things are currently done in the company aren't the way they should be. And I say, give them 2 weeks. The boss will have that person out of it. And it never fails. And then there's other people that just come in and there's a certain approach and they just seem to fit in. And you know, this person's going to last. And maybe the person that lasts is far less educated and smart than the person who's now looking for another job. Because it's not just the qualifications, it's do you fit? Do you fit? Do you fit in with the rest? Can you make it into a team? That's what you're looking for. And God knows that as well. And there's a compatibility between the people in the vision. God has made us compatible. Otherwise, he wouldn't have put us together. You know, if you don't feel satisfied in this place, you feel, no, I don't like these people. I don't like that way that man preaches. Hey, friends, give it some time. But if I were you, I'd start thinking to say, but Lord, surely there's got to be a place where I'm going to be part of the vision. Amen. Got to be a place where I feel at home. Got to be a place where I feel I want to be part of the team. And I want to work towards the fulfillment of something. Otherwise, friends, it becomes a hard time. Amen. It becomes a hard time. So the prophet says, I recognized it to be her. He says, and Brother Snelling, they were ready to go. And she came in the kitchen door and came to the middle door. And she knocked at the door. If she hadn't have done that, the vision still wouldn't have been complete. Because what happened in the vision? He saw the mother of the baby standing at that door with her head against the wall crying. And he saw the old lady come in and go and sit down on the jewel fold. Yeah. Then he saw Graham Snelling sitting on the sofa. So this woman's going to have to come in through that door. And listen how it finishes off. And she said, how is the baby? Is it any better? And Mrs. Emil said, no, mother, no. And just threw her hands up like that to cry, like you know, put her head up against the wall. And that's just the way that it was in the vision. Amen. Well, I was sitting on the jewel fold where Brother Snelling was supposed to be. So the prophet said, they've moved into their position. That one's in his position. But I'm not in the right position. Because that man's supposed to be here, but he can't come here until I find my position. When I find my position, he can come and move into his position. So I got off the Jew fold. I walked over this, wondered what was going to take place. And I thought, she, the old lady, has got to be sitting in this red chair. And I stood there a little bit and I wondered. And Brother Snelling, he started crying too because he saw her crying. And he took off his hat and he sat down on the Jew fold. And I thought, oh my, just one more thing has to happen. And I looked all around to see where everything was. Amen. Friends, it's good to do that in your life on a regular basis. Spiritually, look around and see where everything is. Is everything in order? Is every part of your life subject to the word? Are you being disobedient in any part of your life? Because it's not being smart, friends. It's just being obedient. The prophet here wasn't disobedient. He had to learn the lesson. That's how the Lord allowed it to happen. And I looked around to see where everything was. And I looked over and the lady, oh no, she sat down her little satchel she had. And she backed over here. And then she sat on the Jew fold. Took off them glasses and began to wipe them just exactly like it was in the vision. Then I could feel something near me. Now it was his turn. You see? And as soon as I got everything in place, then he came and stood beside the prophet. But until it was in order, he wasn't going to come. He wasn't going to declare. The vision wasn't going to speak until everything was in its place. Then I could feel something standing near me. And I knew that he was there. And I said, Brother Emil, and he looked at me and I said, do you still have faith in me? And he said, Brother Branham, I love you with all my heart. Showing that even when we get out of line in the vision, we still end up loving one another, friends. And I said, I'm telling you now, I'm sorry for what I did a while ago. The vision wasn't complete. But now, if you show that you still got faith, bring me the baby. And the baby was just as blue as it could be. And then there's a blank spot on the tape. And he says, I prayed and I said, I'm sorry, Lord, for what I did a while ago. Forgive your servant and heal this baby in the name of Jesus Christ. And when I said that, little baby threw his arms around his daddy's neck and said, Daddy, Daddy. Oh, you talk about a screaming bunch in the house. And they all began to run. And I said, put him back in bed. The vision said he'll be well after 3 days. And then at the end of the vision, remember the baby came to him, the young child. And the prophet says in the other place that when I saw the vision, he had like a mustache made of chocolate milk. He had been drinking chocolate milk. And he came up to me in the vision, put his hands in mine and said, Brother Branham, I'm perfectly well. Hallelujah. So the prophet said, I went back to my church and I told them. I said, in 3 days' time, wait and see what's going to happen. He says, I couldn't tell them because they had to fulfill the vision. But I told my church, who wants to come up with me on Wednesday night or whatever it was? He says, we went up a truckload of people, parked all and up the lane, and everybody came and stood at the windows of the house. And I came to the door and I knocked on the door. And I think the mother answered the door and said, oh, it's Brother Branham. He says, and here came the little boy, 3 years old, having drunk chocolate milk, and there was a chocolate mustache. And he put his hands in mine and said, I'm perfectly well, Brother Branham. And that was the fulfillment of the vision. Now the vision had spoken. Amen. Ah, friends, I love those kind of things. There's so many things you can learn. There's so many things when you look inside of your own life. There were certain times you lined up with the vision and see how God stood there. See how real he was. See how near he was to you. But there's other times, though being sincere, trying to do something for the Lord, sometimes jumping ahead, sometimes taking another person's place, all of these different things. You find nothing speaks anymore. Amen. Something happens in your spiritual experience. But it says, though the vision tarry, wait for it. And the prophet, while he was waiting for it, he was looking carefully around. And he said, but what exactly did the vision say? What exactly needs to be put in its place, in its position? And I would say, as we come for prayer this evening, let's really pray for that, friends. Let's really pray. Let's say, Lord, please forgive us. Like the prophet did. Where we missed the vision. in our zeal, in our human temperament, sometimes listening to people we shouldn't have, or sometimes whatever it is inside of our lives where you find you didn't hit the spot the way that God requires us to hit the spot. Just say, Lord, search me. Try me, O Lord. Let that same grace that brought the old grandmother down the path to come in a door she never would come in before, let that same grace step into my experience today and show me what it is that you want me to do. And friends, all that he requires of us, when he puts it into our hands and says, okay, I'll show you what to do. Now it's your turn. Amen. The prophet says, have the correct approach to the vision. Make sure you approach it the right way. Let it be reverently. Let's make sure everything in its place and its position inside of our own lives. And let's wait upon the Lord. Because though the vision tarry, yet in its season, it shall speak. It has to come to pass. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to a time of prayer and really seek the Lord this evening and say, Lord, you help us. We are people of the vision. We are people of the open book. We are people of the great visions that you saw in the ministry of the prophet. There was the vision of the bride and all the different visions. That's why I really liked Brother George when he put that song, you know, that one, what, Onward Christian Soldiers, and the different ones that he started to sing. Because if you think of the vision of the bride, what music were they marching to? Was Onward Christian Soldiers. That's how there's people coming with a new vision. I say, you don't need those old songs anymore. You've got to put some new system of worship. But you look at the vision of the bride. You say, in the vision of the bride, what were the people marching to? Onward Christian Soldiers. It was that kind of music, friends. Let's not try to make a new vision. Let's continue on in the original. And let's see how God will bless us. You continue, bro, with whatever you want to sing, bro. Over Jordan, what did I see? Coming forth to carry me. Band of angels coming after me. Coming forth to carry me. Sing a couple of verses of that. Somebody's crying, Lord. Is there anybody crying tonight? He's more than willing to speak to you. Cry out to the Lord. Humble yourself, approach him the right way, and see how he'll speak to you. And then when he speaks in his grace and shows you how to get back on track, respond. Yield yourself and see what he'll do for you. Someone singing, Lord, kumbaya. Someone singing, Lord, kumbaya. Kumbaya. Oh, Lord, kumbaya.
Kumbaya.
Kumbaya, my Lord.
Kumbaya.
Just wanted to thank you for your goodness, Father, your mercy, Lord. How I just desire, Lord Jesus, to worship you, Lord. To
draw nigh unto the souls of your people, Lord, I pray. Even that burden that you laid upon them, Lord. Put that burden upon us and lead us and guide us, Lord, to fulfill that burden in prayer. Father, as we do wait upon the Lord, minister grace unto your people upon this night. Minister grace unto us, we pray. Yes, Father, we dedicate ourselves to thee, waiting upon thee, Lord. Be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Let's sing that song, Lord. Jesus has a table spread.
Our saints, aren't you glad that Jesus has a table spread with the saints of God are fed? He invites his chosen people, come and dine. Let's be in prayer for Sunday service. Let's pray for the saints that aren't here. Like we say, Brother Vlad, his family away for the weekend. Brother Max, Sister Comfort away as well for a couple of weeks. Oh, let's be in prayer for these things, saints. Let's sing that song as we pray for the sister in Jesus. On Sunday there'll be a baptism service. I'm really glad my niece wants to be baptized. It's a happy day. So if there's anybody else who's never been to the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please let me know. There's no big requirements for baptism. The prophet speaks of those same people, the Emel family. He said one day he was out doing public service company work. He testified to the man and his wife. The people believed. He took them straight and baptized them in the river. He says, you don't need any big ceremonies. Don't need any fuss. If somebody's repented in their heart, if somebody's desiring to turn from their sin, they grieved what they did and they repent, there's nothing to hinder somebody from being baptized. So if there's anybody else, please let me know. But please be in prayer for it, that the Lord may bless it as well. Let's bow our heads as we pray before we dismiss. Father, we just want to pray and ask once again for your traveling mercies, Lord. Father, you've been so good and so kind to us through the years. Father, so many of us could testify of so many times that we could have died, that there could have been such serious accidents, Lord. But Father, your grace has been more than sufficient for us. But Father, we do not want to take things for granted. We pray that you'd go before us and watch over us on this night. And Father, each of your people gathered in this place, I pray your special blessing upon every soul. I pray, Lord, that you'd watch over us, bring us back to your house on Sunday. Father, help us to gather in your spirit, Lord. Father, speak unto your people and bless your people. Them that have traveled, bless them, we pray. Them that are at work, watch over them. Them that haven't managed to come, we pray for them. We pray for Brother Max Jr. Bless him where he is, Lord. Continue to watch over him, Lord, and all of your people. Brother Christian and the saints, bless them. The saints to the north and the south and the east and the west. Father, watch over us as we go. We thank you for grace. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your great vision. Father, let your vision speak. Be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's dismiss with one there, Brother George.